has for them. So let's just release the kids, bless the kids. So Father, we bless the kids. Father, we thank you that you are raising up mighty men and mighty women of God. And so we bless them even as they go to their class today. Lord, may they be raised up in the ways of the Lord. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you today on Mother's Day. Hallelujah. Oh, don't you know that God is doing something in this season? Thank you for the moms who prayed for us. Oh, I'm telling you what, when I got up every morning, my mama was in her rocking chair with her coffee, praying in tongues. Oh, yeah, she was faithful. And I know not all of us have had moms like that, but you know what? Thank God for everything they've done. And even the things that they messed up in, thank God we turned out all right. Amen? Oh, yeah, we're a work of grace. Hallelujah. We are a work of grace. And turn to somebody and say, God's not finished with you yet. Oh, come on. He's going to use you to raise up this next generation. Hallelujah. I've got a very prophetic word for you on my heart today. I feel that there's just a burning in the heart of the Lord. And I feel like his heart is for every one of us. Amen? It doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what nation you came from. Your identity, you were formed to be a child of God. You were created to be a child of God. And don't you know that the enemy is so after that message inside of us? He is so after the very reason that we were created, which was to be God's children. And he is after that identity in us. He's after that identity in each and every one. And how many of you know that God is a restorer of identity? Amen? Amen? And he is on the job. He is on the job in you. He is on the job in me. And I want to say and declare he's on the job in culture. Because we're in a cultural crisis of identity. But I want to tell you that God is on the job. And one of the ways he's on the job is through me and you. And today, we are appreciating mothers, but I tell you, mothers can't do it by themselves. They need fathers, amen? And fathers are very important. And so today, even as I talk and as we share what's on the heart of the Lord, I believe what God is doing in this season is very instrumental in the parental role. And I want to, as we laud mothers and we lift them up and honor them today, I also want to declare that as we are exhorting in this parental role, that God is doing a work in men. That God, in the even in their role in our society and the place where God has brought us together as men and women, how many of you know we reflect the heart of God together? There's that in the heart of a woman that is the heart of God. And there is that in the heart of a man, of course, that is the heart of God. And together, and I'm not hearing you guys. Are you with me this morning? Come on, say amen. Together, as we walk together and work together and relate together, there is healing. There's healing in our hearts together. There's healing in the family. There's healing in the lives of those that God calls us to be with. And how many of you know that God places the lonely in families? And this is a family. Amen? Amen. This is a family. And God is using us, the family of God. This is a local church family. But our identity from the beginning is family. We were always created to be family. And so there is a huge restoration of identity that God is doing in this season. I want you to turn to the word. Let's turn to Malachi chapter 4. How many of you know every day we're getting closer and closer to the end times?
Amen.
Every day we're getting closer and closer to the fulfillment of what God has in this season. And has anybody noticed that there is an intensity that has been arising?
Yeah.
There's been an intensity, a clash of kingdom culture and culture. There's also been a rising of intensity and a warfare and around about us in our minds and our families. And as the day is coming, guess what? God is on the job. God is on the job. Let's read chapter 4. It says, "Behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts." This is talking about a day of reckoning, a day of judgment. And it says, "That will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings." Hallelujah. "And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves, and shall trample the wicked, and they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded in Horeb for all of Israel with the statutes and the judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." You see, in this readiness for the closing season that God is prophesying about, he says that two pivotal things are going to happen. The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And we see as things are intensifying in the earth, and as darkness, gross darkness covers the earth, wickedness abounds. All we have to do is listen to the internet, turn on the TV, and hear everything that's going on around us. I mean, we're hearing about children shooting children. This is in our society. See, you know, the Lord must come. He must come and put things in order. There must be a change and a shift. But what's going to happen at the same time? The quickening that you are feeling with the darkness and all that is going on in the earth, and even this distress with things that we hear about in society, at the same time, I'm telling you, God is moving. I want to speak hope to you this morning. God is moving. God is moving. God is moving. The Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. You see, when gross darkness covers the earth, what does it make an opportunity for? The light. Hallelujah. How many of you know you are the light of the world? You have the Son of Righteousness in you. You have the righteousness of Christ in you and on you. Hallelujah. So I don't want you to be discouraged today. I want you to know that on the stage, there is a wonderful opportunity for the people of God. Because this is a time and a season where God wants to use you. Amen? He wants to use you. He wants to use you. The Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. And guess how he's going to rise? He's going to rise through you. And it says, "And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves." Well, this is one time where it's good to be fat.
Somebody said, how are stall-fed calves? They're taken well care of. They've been secured. They've been fed. But they're also being released. Hallelujah. They're being out. They shall go out. There's a releasing that's coming over the body of Christ. There's a nourishment. There's a feeding. But it's time to be fed and released so that we can go and do the works of Christ, which is to release that healing, which is to set the captives free. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. You don't know how powerful you can be in the midst of the God who is in you. Greater is he that is in me. And it says, and behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. You see, the prophetic mantle now that is being released upon the earth, it is doing, it's calling. It's calling. It's the heart of the Father that's calling the prodigals back. And how many of you know it says here that the spirit of Elijah, which is a prophetic spirit, the prophecy, it says, is the testimony of Jesus. What was Jesus' whole intent and purpose? To bridge the gap between us and the Father. That was his whole entire destiny, was to bridge the gap, to be the gap filler. And that spirit of the Father is going out, that prophetic spirit, to do what? Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Now, as we talk about this, of course, we're celebrating mothers, but we're talking about it's a parental spirit that God is releasing. It's a spirit of restoration. It's a spirit of reconciliation. Hallelujah. And I want you to know that God puts the lonely in families. And he's always done it, and he will always do it. And sometimes it's not your nuclear family. It might be your spiritual family. Sometimes it's your family that you were born into. Or the family of God, but he's constantly putting the lonely in families. And one of the things I remember when I was a speech pathologist, I was doing my first job in Baltimore, Maryland. And I took this job because it was intensely challenging. I was one of those people. If you say it's challenging, I wanted to do it. And it was a special internship, and it wasn't completely paid. Now, I had my master's degree, but I wanted to do this internship that was special. And it was at a place called Shock Trauma. Now, try that out for a workplace. Shock Trauma. And it was right around the beltways of Baltimore and Washington, so they were constantly getting accident victims, motorcycle victims, car accident victims. I wanted to work with patients on ventilators and do swallowing tests with them, and I wanted to assess brain injured patients and see how their speech and cognition were. So this is my first job. I'm on this job. And I'm in Baltimore, and I don't have a home church yet. I don't have really any friends, and I was living with people from the program because it wasn't a normally paid program. And my parents said to me, would you just get a job? Like, you just finished 6 years of school. Why can't you get a normal job? And I said, yeah, but this is special. I'm going to learn this special stuff. And, you know, you get housing, you get a little stipend, but it wasn't a normal pay. So I was living with these girls, and they didn't know Jesus. So here I am in a very challenging living environment. And I remember one of the days that my roommate brought her boyfriend home. And you know why she was bringing him home. And I was like, Jesus, 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 what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And in the midst of this crisis, I was just crying out to the Lord, and I was spending some time with him, and I heard the Lord say to me very clearly, I put the lonely in families. And I thought, okay, I thought, you know, I was going to meet my husband. I was 20-something years old. I can't even remember right now, but no, that wasn't it. I had to wait a lot longer to get this one over here. So I began to, you know, visit a small group, Bible study, and I met some people who had a heart for the homeless. And I loved working with the homeless. I had done, at that point, about 10 trips to New York City where I worked with the homeless. And you have to remember, I was from Virginia. So New York City, that was like a whole foreign, I was really, truly doing missions work. I was from Lenexa, Virginia, and there was a little post office, and there was not even a stoplight. And I was going, you know, I had done about 10 mission trips to New York City, and then after that, I had worked with the homeless in Knoxville, Tennessee. So in this little home group, I met this couple, and they were working with the homeless. They were making soup, and they would take it downtown. And in this particular part of downtown, there was a parking garage that was government property. And because it was government property, they somehow were not allowed to kick the homeless out of this garage because it had these huge heating vents and it would be blowing down. So in the winter, there were like 30, 40, 50 guys, mostly guys, a couple of ladies, but mostly guys who were sitting in this parking garage. And they would come, and they would come for the food. And somehow they couldn't kick them out. So this couple was they were doing this homeless outreach. And so I said, oh, I want to be a part of this. I've worked with the homeless in New York City and in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I would love to do this. And they said, great, you're going to lead a group. And you can every Sunday night you can go out. So here I am in my little apartment with these other roommates that don't believe in Jesus. And I was making big pots of soup, and I was putting them together. I don't even know if my husband's ever heard this story. And getting ready for this homeless outreach. And so every Sunday night, Sunday was my night, I would lead a little team, and we would go out, and we would feed, and we would bless, and we would pray for, and spend time with so many hurt and broken people. And I remember their names still, some of them that I prayed with and talked to and heard their stories. And I remember this one guy, his name was Dennis. When he first came, he wasn't really using drugs much. But in the 6 months that I was leading this outreach, I remember him coming up to me, and he had tracks all the way up his arms, and they were completely infected, just pus and running. And I remember just praying for him and crying out for him. And when it came time to leave, and God had moved me on from Baltimore to Washington, D.C., by that time I had grown quite a big family on Sunday nights. About 50 guys and a couple of ladies. And I remember we all had a big party. Somehow they got buses to take all of these people to a park that they could have a time where they could say goodbye to me. And I remember in the midst of this, this little family that was doing their outreach had become my family. And on the weekends when my roommate wanted to have her boyfriend over, they would have me in their home. And when I moved to Washington, D.C., which was about an hour away, once a month I would go visit. And I remember when this family, they got their pet dog, and we had gone to the farm to get this dog. I went with them, and I was the first one that really got to hold the dog because, you know, the mom was driving. So I held the dog, and I said, oh, poor baby, this dog had fleas all on it, and it was just a puppy, and I said, oh, poor baby, And I was holding it, well, from that name stuck. And so from that day on, this family's dog was named Baby. And whenever I would come in the house, Baby would race around the house doing circles because I was there. I mean, this is how much I was part of this family. And what I'm telling you is that wherever you go and the destiny call that God has upon you, He will bring you into family. And in that season, He caused this family. They had three kids. They had three more while I was kind of a part of this life with them. They had three more kids. And they always had room for another one at the table as God would bring assignments to them. And I only saw them maybe once a month, you know, after that. But once a month, I would faithfully go and get to connect with them. But they continued to do that homeless outreach. And God did something in my heart. He not only gave me a place of ministry and mission, He gave me a place to help restore parts of my identity. Because when I was in the midst of this family, the mom, she loved Jesus, and she homeschooled her kids, and we would have talks about marriage. We would have talks about how to raise your kids. And I didn't know at that point that my kids were going to be spiritual kids and not natural kids. But I was gleaning everything that I could glean from this mama. And, you know, I have to honor them because not only did they sow into my life with their time, their conversation, their mentoring, their marriage, their ministry. When it was time for me to go to Bible school, and then it was time for me to come to Canada. When I came to Canada, I had to raise support. And do you know, every month for 7 years, this family sewed $100 into my support every month, until I got married. The day I got married with my husband, then they stopped sewing, but they had sewn so much. They had sewn so much. Every month for 7 years, they sewed into my life. And that, the fruit of their sewing, part of that is you. Because I wouldn't have been able to be here if there weren't people who sowed their lives, their heart, their energy into me. Amen. And God taught me so much. He taught me so much through them. One of the things they used to do with their kids, because I got to see them over years, one thing they would do with their kids is that they wanted to teach their children how to be generous. And so they had this thing that they would do called secret servants. So they would come up with a plan, and they would say, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to find someone to bless. And we're not going to let them know who it even is, but we're going to have this special assignment. And so they would get together a plan, and they would load up their, maybe it was, you know, they heard of a single mom who needed groceries, and they would go load up their vehicle filled with groceries, and then they would go deliver, if that's who God was speaking to them about. That was just one thing. When they were working with the homeless, this couple, they would go buy brand new shoes, and they would take them out, and we would just give them out. Now, I don't know what they were doing with those shoes. They may have been selling them, but I know the heart behind it was pure gold, I can tell you. And so little did I know years ago what God was doing in my heart. He was doing such a beautiful work with this family. And their heart for the poor, their heart for children, even their own children. They had six of their own, but I'm telling you, they had many, many more. Many more besides those six. And even the ones that we ministered to together in downtown Baltimore, It was just a little bit of their legacy. And I want to show you a few slides of a little bit of what I believe is their legacy, because they sowed into me with time, with care, with love, and they believed in me. And so I want to share a little bit of what's going on here right now at the Kingsway Outreach Center, and I want to show you a little bit of their legacy in me and in you and what God is doing. Here's our clothing ministry here at the Kingsway. Just one of the ministries that we have. Oh, there's a mama, Mama Luce. Let's give her a great big hand. She's been volunteering with us. I'm telling you, she is an organizing machine. Here is our lineups in the morning. Do you know, sometimes I come in here and I just want to cry because there's so many people. This was so cold when this lineup was. There's so many people. And do you know that sometimes all we can do is just give them the food because we don't even have enough laborers to pray with them? If you could believe with me that every single day the Kingsway is open, we would have a team of laborers. I'm believing for that. I know we have to hand out the food, but so many of them, they need prayer. They need hope, just like Dennis. We give fresh food and vegetables. And do you know that when I conducted an interview with some of our clients a couple of weeks ago, they said to me, we can get food here every single week. That it is so rare because most of the food banks, they give food how much? Once a month. And over, I heard out of the mouths of clients, every single week you get food. Oh, here's some of our amazing team. If you volunteer or work with the Kingsway Outreach Center and you're here today, can you stand up because we just want to give you a great big hand. Yes, come on, Amos Barrington. Come on. Luce is a volunteer. And of course, Christ and Sansir. Yes, Ezekiel and Michelle. And so many others. Do you know it takes an army? It takes an army to feed families. So many others. Oh, do we get Jeffrey over there? Bless you. Thank you, Jeffrey. And the food that we get is so amazing. And look, we have these classes. Keep going. We've just recently had classes for seniors, and it was wonderful. Creative Connections. This is Michael. We have Coffee House where we share stories, and JJ coordinates that with the team. Can we give JJ a hand? And I know Ben and Aura have been helping, and we have fun, but we also share stories of inspiring change. And Ellen from Abuse Hurts has been one of our supporters for years, and she told her story of overcoming sexual abuse and just giving hope and light to others. And this is our Kingsway to Go van that's going out on the streets. They just went out yesterday, and they had hot food, wings, and they give out other items, toiletries. Keep going. This is one of our amazing volunteers, Eddie, who was, he volunteered with us here at the Kingsway probably over 15 years, and he has gone to be with the Lord. Yes. So we wanted to just invite you. That is June 7th. We're going to be celebrating his life, and we want to invite you to celebrate it with us. He was here as well as a part of our church family, but he originally came in through the Kingsway. This is Sevgi. Did we have any more pictures of the van on there? Well, Just a couple of comments, but I'm going to tell Sevgi's story in just a minute. A couple of comments about the van outreach. We've been going out more regularly. We take mats for the homeless, those milk bag mats. And we also have English classes. And we also take out for the homeless toiletries as well. But let's put Sevgi's picture back up there if we can. Sevgi came in. And she and her husband originally came in to get some food. They're newcomers, and that's another amazing program and opportunity that God has opened up. He has opened up this to be a place where newcomers can find community and work with us as we're ministering to the poor, but also become a part of a family. Amen. How many of you know when you're new to a place, you need family? And we've had many, many, many come in from different countries, and that is one of the things that they share. So this beautiful couple came in. They're from Turkey, and when they came in for the food, but they also came in to learn a bit of English. And Sevgi was a little bit higher than our beginning class, so I had the privilege of working her with a little bit for English. And as we got into conversation, she was telling me about when she was in university, that she read the Bible in university, and that she came from a family that was Muslim, of course, but they didn't really, you know, she didn't believe in God. And she said, but when she was in university, she was reading about Jesus. And she said, oh, I love Jesus. And you could see the Holy Spirit drawing her, that she loved the person of Jesus. And I said, well, do you have a Bible? And she said, well, no. And so I was able to get her a Bible with Turkish and English. But it was old-fashioned King James English, even more than King James. It was like, wow. But it had the Turkish beside it. And so she and I began to look at that. And she said to me, she said, oh, I so want to learn about Jesus. And so I'm happy to tell you that one of our beautiful volunteers who is not with us today because she is not feeling well, Bonnie, she is meeting with Sevgi and she is having Bible studies with her. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. But I want to tell you that Sevgi lost her mother. And she lost her mother like within the year of her coming here. And her husband as well also lost his mother. And so from the time that they started volunteering, and they didn't just do our English class, but like many, they were looking for family. And they came and they joined our volunteers. And she said to me, she goes, you have become our family. And so it's just in the last 6 months, we've already been invited to 2 birthdays. Isn't that right, honey? And I'm telling you, God puts the lonely in families. Amen. And so one of the things, before I finish up and share the latter portion of my message with you, I wanted to give you an opportunity to sow into the King's Way. And we're doing something right now called To Mom with Love. And we're inviting people to give into the King's Way in honor of their mother. I gave mine last night in honor of Mary Ruth, who didn't want me to go to New York City and work with the homeless. In fact, when I was called to do that, she was very upset about it. And I went back to my prayer time and I said, Lord, you're going to have to talk to my mama because she doesn't want me to go. And then I remember the time on the phone where she said, you know what? If God's called you, you got to do it. And so we're going to sow a seeds today in honor of our mothers into the King's Way. Because you know what? God is setting the lonely ones in families. And this is a ministry that is very worthy of us sowing seed. And I think of Laurel and Tracy, the couple that I was with for years. If they hadn't sowed into my life, I don't know where I would be today. And so I'm asking you, I'm going to give you an opportunity to give. When you give, Nicole has these sheets, and we want you to put the name of the person that you would like to honor on our honor wall, our To Mom With Love wall. And so we have those, and we're making those available to you. So let's just take a moment, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to give right now. If someone could bring those baskets up, could you do that? Thank you, Jesus. And I want to just give you an opportunity to sow into the Kingsway, to sow into the work of the lonely being put in families. Amen. And I want to tell you the miraculous provision that God has opened up for us. Now, do we still need provision? We still need provision. We have got to pay the electricity, the hydro every week. We've got every month. There's so many large bills that come with running a food bank like this and running a ministry like this. But we also are enjoying the incredible provision of God. And I see God bring in the toiletries. I see God bring in the clothing. I see God bring in the mats. I see God bring in the volunteers and the harvesters and the laborers. And Pastor Charlene, one of the pictures I didn't have up there, but it was Pastor Charlene has a tent on Tuesdays with a team. And Tuesdays, they are going to be putting that out shortly. And they are going to have coffee and prayer on Tuesdays for a couple of hours. And I'm believing at some point we can have that every day. Amen. Every day that we're open. And there have been some amazing stories at that tent as well. We prayed for people and they've come back and said they were healed. And we are sharing the love and the light of Jesus Christ. So I'll just give you a moment to fill that out, and I'm going to bless that. And maybe you don't have it today. Maybe you didn't come prepared, or maybe you have a big Mother's Day lunch today. I want to tell you, you can do a pledge as well and sow into the work of what God is doing at the Kingsway. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for every laborer that you've brought. And Lord, we're declaring that they are a son and a daughter. Oh, that you're bringing them into relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. I just think about Kat. Many of you know her story. She was an addict for 40 years. And now, look. She's one of our most amazing volunteers. But God set her free. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, she was just on that homeless man outreach yesterday. God saved her and set her free to be one to save and set free others. Amen. So, Father, we bless this offering even as we give right now. Lord, if it's in honor of a mother, I think I have about 5 names I could put on mine. People that you sowed into my life, that sowed and sowed and sowed into my heart, into my life, into my identity, so that I could be who you were calling me to be. We just thank you, Lord. We honor you. And Lord, even as we're sowing our gifts today, Lord, we honor you. For all the ones you've brought in our lives and our hearts to pour into us. And we bless this seed that it's going to go forth and make a huge difference. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You see, God is restoring. He's restoring identity. He's restoring identity, and he is restoring your picture of yourself. Does that make sense? And I want to say a great shout out to Maria, too, because she's taught English here. She taught these French guys, Christ and Sincere. She's got a harvest of English in them. Yes. So many of you guys have poured out. And Joyce, she did the seniors. Let's give Joyce a great big hand. She taught seniors. There's so many. I could be here saying thank you for days, weeks. But what I want to say to you is that, oh, and I forgot. Okay, one more. Yvonne, stand up, Yvonne. Let's give Yvonne a great big hand. Yvonne has been doing a new program that we have called Welcome Home Baskets. So we have contacted different shelters, and we've said if you have someone transitioning into a home and they have nothing, we want to prepare a basket for them. So just recently, we are preparing these baskets from donated goods that we've gotten new. These are beautiful things. And some of them are used, but most of them are new. And we just recently, we prepared at least, I would say, 8 to 10 baskets recently. And all of these are people who are being rehomed. Isn't that awesome? And we get to bless them. And we give them a little sheet that says, Welcome Home, from the Kingsway Outreach Center. And Yvonne contacts the social workers and connects with them. And recently we had a young mother with two of her kids show up to get this basket. She was absolutely overwhelmed with it. She couldn't believe the size and what was in it. She was speechless. And JJ, of course, being a really good PR person, said, can I take your picture? And she said, no. But that's okay, because we have the picture in our hearts, I'm telling you, of the people that we're impacting. Amen. So what God is doing is that he is restoring identity in this hour. People have to know that they have value, that they are worth something. And I want to ask you, if a diamond is stuck in manure, is it still a diamond? Yeah. If a diamond is set on fire, is it still a diamond? If a diamond is cursed at, is it still a diamond? If a diamond is put in the most negative of negative circumstances, guess what? It is still a diamond. And just because someone was so broken that they didn't recognize your worth, it doesn't mean you're not a diamond. Hallelujah. Because you are created in the image of God. And so there's so many hurt and broken that we've been around. And that's the problem. The people that mirrored back to them, mother or father, they were so broken. They mirrored back broken images. But there is a true Father who is perfect. And he has the perfect mother heart of God, the perfect father heart of God. And guess what? He puts the lonely in families. And you're going to be a part of reflecting the mother and father heart of God and bringing restoration in this generation. Because what is he doing? He's turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. And it's not that we would earn it. It's not that we would have to do it. But it's that we would just receive it. That we would receive it. And as we have that identity restored in us, we're going to be able to mirror back to others the value that they have. Not based on what they do, but whose they are, who they were created to be. Now, are they going to do good works? Oh, yeah, they are. They're going to make us proud. Amen? Because they are going to do great works because of the identity that is formed inside of them. So, number one, God is creating a restoration of identity. Number two, he's creating a restoration of relationships. And there are many that God is bringing across your path. Maybe it was broken in your family, but guess what? God's putting you in a new family. Amen? We need each other. Turn to somebody and say, we need you. We need you. We need you. And as we come together in restoration of relationship, there is going to be this opportunity to grow together. to mentor each other, to disciple, to speak life, to bless. That's why we're going to have this blessing time on Thursday, because you know what? We just want to bless you. We just want to bless you. It's the heart of the Father. And as we're going into these impact groups, guess what? We have to be impacted first before we can impact the world. If we don't know the love of the Father, then how can we release it into someone else? And so in these impact groups, we want to have a focus on relationship. I want every one of you to be here if you possibly can. Each and every one of you. We're going to have a men's impact group, a women's impact group, a prayer impact group, a young adult impact group, and if we have enough, a youth impact group. And so what I want to say to you is that we need to be in a place to grow together in relationship. How many of you were hurt in relationship? Anybody? There should be hands. Everybody should have your hand up. We were all hurt in relationship. How does God heal us? In relationship. My husband has been amazing healing relationship for me. So many of you, healing relationships. Dr. Russ, Pastor Maeve, healing relationships. God sent me to Canada so I could have spiritual parents. Another set. He put me in another family. He's so good. He has blessings for you. And these impact groups, we are going to have discipleship, mentorship, prayer, blessing, activation. We're going to have discussions. How many of you know people have questions? When they're growing, they have questions. There's things that we need to be able to ask. We're going to serve together, grow together, disciple together, and build together. God is bringing a restoration of the generations, and we're going to run together. No matter what our age is, guess what? We need each other. There's something that comes from being with young people. A fresh passion, fresh desire. How many of you know they can teach us stuff? Sometimes I don't know what to do, something on my phone, I just hand it to Nathan. Guess what? He does it in like 30 seconds. I'm like, how did you do that? But guess what? They need our wisdom. They need our steadiness. They need us to speak into them. We need each other. So God is doing something. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God of every generation. And he's doing something where the brokenness that we had in terms of being able to work together, walk together, he is bringing us together. And did you know that they're saying out there, Gen Z is coming back to church. Like, it's even their attendance. Yeah, come on. Thank you, Jesus. Their attendance is even surpassing the baby boomers, I believe it was. I mean, come on, this generation is looking for something real. We can't just teach religion. We got to be in relationship and teach relationship, right? Because religion is about rules without relationship. Relationship empowers change and transformation. Why? Because it's the heart of the Father, the heart of the Father. And I want to tell you, maybe you have been cursed. Maybe you've been spat upon. Maybe you've been called names. Maybe you had a wonderful, loving upbringing. Maybe you didn't. Maybe your mother was wonderful. Maybe your mother was absent. You know, my mother, her mother died when she was 7 of cancer. And so when she was little, she had a hard time going to sleep, so she would rock her head to go to sleep every night, even after she was married. When she got baptized with the Holy Ghost, guess what happened? Oh, the Holy Ghost came upon her. And do you know that she never had to rock her head again to go to sleep? Isn't that wonderful? Because the true comfort of the Holy Spirit came upon her. And I want to tell you, my mother was a wonderful mother. Did she have her issues? Yes, she did. But I have to say, thank you, Jesus, that she loved Jesus. And she led me to Jesus. Because that's the biggest thing that we can ever do for our kids, is lead them to the one that can lead them. Amen. Why don't you stand up on your feet this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God, that you're doing such a redemptive work. Lord, you're doing such a restorative work. You're doing such a work of reconciliation. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are. I just see the golden lasso of the Lord, and I want to tell you, he's bringing them in. Oh, he's bringing them in. He's bringing them in. And if we've been far away, he's bringing us in. He's bringing us into a place of love. He's bringing us into a place of relationship in a whole new way. Just stir your hearts up right now. Oh, just receive what the Lord is doing. There's a beautiful presence of the Lord here. I'm going to do an unusual altar call this morning. I'm going to ask every single one of you to come up. Can you do that? Just come up around here. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. This is what I hear the Lord saying. This is what I hear the Lord saying. We're family. Your family. You're loved. You're loved. You're a diamond. Even if someone has never acknowledged your value, or they devalued you with their words, with their actions, or they had wrong motives, or they were so broken themselves, be it mother, be it father, be it brother, anyone else in your sphere of influence, and you were devalued, I want to say to you today that you have a father. You have a father who sees your value, who knows your value. Oh, you have a father. You have a father. You have a father. Jesus. And you were so valuable. So valuable that he gave the most precious thing that he had. Jesus, for you. That's your value. And some of you, I just hear the Lord saying that today he wants to strip off any orphan type of mentality that you don't belong, you're not good enough, you have to earn it, that there's something wrong with you. He's stripping it off today. I want to just declare that over you. He's stripping it off today. He's stripping off any kind of mentality that you're not valuable, you're not loved, that you don't have a place at the table. And he's saying, you know what? The Father is running to you. And inside of that Father's heart is the mother heart of God. You know that, right? It's the parental heart of God. But he sees you. He knows you. He loves you. Just close your eyes and receive that. Just say it. He sees me. He knows me. He loves me. I'm valuable. Not based on what I do, but just because I am his child. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift up right now any kind of disappointments, any hurts, any pains, whatever it is. If there's something that's upon your heart right now, and you say, Jesus, I need you to strip this off of me. I need you to lift it off. I need you to take it off. Maybe it was abuse that you suffered. Maybe it was neglect. Maybe it was a wrong identity that was put upon you. Whatever it was, just lift it up to him. He sees. He knows. He knows you're a diamond. While you were in your mother's womb, I saw you. I formed you. I called you. While you were in your mother's womb, you're a diamond. You're a diamond. Oh, Jesus. Strip it off, Lord. Just tell him. Whatever you need stripped off, just tell him this morning. Strip it off, Lord. Strip it off. Strip it off. Anything that would make me feel like I'm not worth listening to. Anything that would make me feel that I'm not good enough, that I have to work harder. Anything that would make me feel a shame or a label because of something I was called that was bad or negative. Any way that I was compared with other people, just take it off, Lord. Any way that I didn't get what I needed, because Lord, you know the love needs. Any way I didn't get what I needed, Lord, just come and fill me up now. Just come and give me what I didn't get. Lord, I release those who should have been loving me in a different way. Just lift them up to you, whether it was mother or father or others. Just lift them up to you. Say, I release them, Lord. They were so broken, they couldn't love me the way I needed. But Lord, you can. You can. You can. Thank you, Lord. Just receive it right now. There's a grace here. There's a grace here. There's a grace here. Just receive it. It's the grace and the mercy and the love of God. Oh, the grace and mercy and love of God. Hallelujah. The grace and the love and the mercy of God. He looks at you. And he says, I didn't forget about you. My eye is on you. An eye has not seen, an ear has not heard the things which I have prepared for you. I love 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 you. Yes, I really do. I love you. I love you. I love you with a love that's true. Lord, I'm praying that you would come and that you would touch each and every heart this morning. And Lord, we would know you in a deeper dimension than we ever have. And Lord, I'm praying that you would come with your hand of blessing over each and every one. And Lord, the love that is so deep and so wide and so long and so high, Lord, that we could never even describe it. Lord, would you come? And Lord, awaken our hearts that we might receive and that we might believe how much you love us, Lord. How much you love us. how much you love us. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, just lift your hands to the Lord right now. I hear the Lord saying, I'm releasing a blessing over your life, and it's so much that you won't be able to contain it. And I hear the Lord saying, I'm filling your cup that it's overflowing. And in this season, he says, you're going to know my glory. You're going to know my presence. And he said, you're going to know the oil of the overflow. Hallelujah. And I see us stepping, and it's like we're stepping on gold, golden liquid. Oh, hallelujah. And the Lord says, I'm pouring out an anointing of love, an anointing of courage, an anointing of hope, and an anointing of peace, security. And the Lord says that even in this season, you shall know. I'm declaring it over you this morning. You shall know. You shall know. You shall know your identity. You shall know it. You shall know it deep in the very center of your being. You shall know it that you're a diamond. Your value. Your value. Your value is of great worth. Hallelujah. We're going to do something prophetic right now as a family. What I want you to do is just take the hand of somebody next to you. And you would just take a hand there. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. Father, I thank you for family. Family, 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 family. God, that you're bringing restoration in family. Father, I pray that you would make us ones, oh God, that our hearts would be open to the broken and the hurting, God. Oh, Father, that you would send ones into this family, God. Oh, that they need to know that they are valued. And Lord, I pray that we would be a reflection of the light and the love of Jesus. And Lord, right now, Father, I pray that even in the midst of this family, Lord, that you would be forming new relationships. You'd be forming new bonds. Lord, that you would be bringing sisters together. You'd be bringing daughters and mothers and fathers and brothers and sons and daughters, oh God. Father, I thank you for family, 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 family. A beautiful family anointing in this place. Every age, every race, oh, every nation. Because we're your children, God. We're yours. Lord, let us reflect your face and be a space and a place at the table where we can reflect back the value so that others might find their identity in you. Their identity in you. So, Father, I thank you for this family. And even the ones who aren't here today and the ones that you're bringing, the ones that you're sending. And, Lord, I thank you, God. I thank you. That you are our family and the giver of family. So we receive our brothers and our sisters from you. And so, Father, we're asking right now in the name of Jesus For a spirit of adoption to fall right now. A spirit of adoption to fall. A spirit of adoption to fall. A spirit of adoption to fall upon your children, God. A spirit of adoption where we cry, Abba, Abba, that we would know you as our Abba. A spirit of adoption, that we would be the sons and the daughters that you called us to be. Oh, Lord, let a spirit of adoption fall. Abba, Abba, Abba. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for those that you put around about us. And we speak a blessing. Lord, we bless, bless. Just bless those on your left, those on your right. Just bless them. Say, I bless you, I bless you, I bless you in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we just bless what you've done in this place. Lord, we bless the moms. We bless the fathers. We bless the kids. We bless the sisters and the brothers. And Lord, we thank you, God, for the work that you're doing. Hallelujah. The work of restoration and reconciliation. Hallelujah. And Father, that you're causing us to be a beacon of light and hope to those around us. Oh, I want you to find 10 people to give hugs to, but oh, Mama Rose has something to say. Hold on 1 second.
Thank you, Lord. This word was straight from heaven today, straight from the Lord. And he, as we gather as a family, God just brought back, I won't be as long as last week. God just says, I just want to bless you with this and for you to remember. Amen. The importance of family. Yes. We're a part of the family that's been born again. Part of the family whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us his own. We're a part of the family that's on its way home. And sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family.
Hallelujah. Amen. Make sure you give 10 or more hugs to some of your family. Amen. We bless you as you celebrate Mother's Day today. Bless all the mamas. Don't forget, Thursday night is a night of blessing. So we want you to come. We want you to be blessed. We're going to have all kinds of surprises for you. And then we're starting our impact groups. So clear your schedule on Thursday nights and be here. And if you're watching online, we bless you. I want you to know that you're a diamond.